Here's another podcast interview from the WJCW Morning Team, Thinking Out Loud.
21 minutes before 8 o'clock here at Tri-Cities Talk Radio, WJCW, and we welcome to the program Don Wiley. Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
And who did you bring with you over there?
This is Randy Sanders from the Center for Appalachian Studies and Services at East Tennessee State.
Well, we welcome both of you to the program. And you called me a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about shape note singing and a shape note singing school that is coming up real soon. What is shape note singing, and how does I've also heard it called old harp singing? Differentiate. Is there a difference?
There's no difference. When you're talking about old harp, you're referring to a specific songbook in which those songs are. There's also sacred harp, and the book that we're going to be teaching from is actually entitled Christian Harmony. And shape note singing is basically the ability to sight read singing based on the notes being in specific shapes corresponding to the tone on the scale do, re, mi.
Okay. So the difference between that and what we would think of as a traditional notation on staff, how is that? Because I was trained, we were talking earlier, to play clarinet, sight read traditional staff music, but I looked at some of the shape note books here, and it's like looking at a foreign language.
At first it is, but as you learn it, when you look at the symbol for do, that tone comes to your mind and then to your voice. And each of the singers, of course, has a different part, and you also learn and rather feel how to blend that tone of your part with another part.
I take it from what you say that there is a great emphasis on harmony then.
Exactly. Without any musical accompaniment whatsoever. In fact, the sacred harp is the name for the human voice.
I saw the movie Cold Mountain, and there was some shape note singing in that movie. And another movie recently that I saw had some shape note singing in it.
Yes, I've not seen the movie, but I do understand that there were two songs, I Do Mia being one of them. And I don't know what the other one was.
Well, now, what is the what gave you the idea to have a singing school, a shape note singing school, which, by the way, is coming up Saturday, November 3rd, on the campus at East Tennessee State University? Is there an interest in the general public in shape note singing? Obviously, there is.
There is. For me, it began as a purely selfish idea because we had had an all-day singing at Rocky Mount for several years. It was canceled this year. The lady that hosted it was thinking of relocating, so the singing was canceled, and it was too late for me to reschedule it. So I just had the idea of a singing school and began to cast around for helpers, and my mind went to the Center for Appalachian Studies. I sent an email to Randy, and we've gone from there.
Randy, how did it evolve from there?
The interesting thing about it was that the very week that Don sent that email, the director of the center, Roberta Heron, had said to me, you know, we should do a shape note singing school sometime.
That sort of sealed it, didn't it?
And that very week, Don sends an email saying, would you be interested in doing a shape note singing school? So,
don't you wish all your projects were that easy?
Exactly, exactly.
So once you got the sort of the impetus from two sides there, how did you go about forming it, and what is going to be the structure of the school?
Well, Don can talk more about the structure of the school, but what I would say about it is that really with just a minimal amount of advertising, and no budget for advertising, we've been overwhelmed by the response.
Wonderful.
I mean, we had originally planned to hold it in the in Nix Hall, which is the Center for Appalachian Studies headquarters, and we have so many people who are planning to attend that we've moved it to the Reese Museum, which is next door, still on the campus of ETSU, but next door.
Don, the program is.
Oh,
sample. We finally got our magic music machine over here to work.
And there you heard the shapes. The way it goes is that the first time we sing the names of the shapes, do, do, mi, so, so, la, so, and so forth, mm-hmm. in four parts. You go through the whole song that way, and then you go back and sing what we call the poetry.
Okay, so in the program that's going to be taking place November 3rd at ETSU, what will be taking place in the program in the sense of introducing people who are curious or want to know more about shape note singing but really know nothing about it? How's the program going to be set up?
I am not the teacher. I have a teacher coming over from North Carolina, so he will do as he sees best. But generally how these work is a brief a discussion of the history, in fact, which is somewhat interesting. It is a purely American phenomenon. This arose in colonial era America, and has been basically waxing and waning over the years. Mm. Then he will just go into a brief explanation of the shapes and the name attached to it. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly going to be learning by doing. We will start out with some familiar hymns that people can catch on to.
I would be interested, and I'm sure listeners would too, Don, in a little bit of the history of shape note singing.
It began in the early 1800s, as far back as we can tell. In fact, 1790 was the first knowledge we have of a man in Philadelphia named John Connolly, who came to the idea of attaching a shape to a musical tone. It was the congregational singing in the churches had become, shall we say, problematic, as people were, they didn't have instruments in the music in the churches, but people were using their own melodies, and so you had, instead of harmony, you had dissonance going
bedlam.
On. Bedlam, exactly. And so the systems were begun to try to standardize, and the shape notes were thought up by Mr. Connolly as a way for common, ordinary people like everybody mm-hmm. to learn to sing. And they tried it out, evidently had success, and it began to catch on. After that, there were in four shapes, and there are still four shapes singing. The Sacred Harp sings in four shapes. By the middle of the 1800s, people were expanding that to seven shapes, which is what we're going to be singing for, a shape for each tone of the scale.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, it was very close by here in Spartanburg, South Carolina, Mr. William Walker, his Christian Harmony was issued from there. The other book that we sing from in Middle East Tennessee, the New Harp, was actually compiled by Mr. Swan in Knoxville.
No relation. But I wanted to ask you, I understand, doing a little bit of reading on the shape note singing beforehand, that the singers actually sit in a square, is this correct, and face one another?
That is true. This is not performance music. This is, we divide the four parts to make a hollow square. The leader stands in the middle to lead the singing, so we're singing to each other.
Uh-huh, okay. Which could be kind of maybe disconcerting at first, but I would think once folks got used to it and began singing in the four parts there, I would think it would be almost thrilling. It would go through you almost. I mean, I've never participated in this, and I'm very curious about it.
Many people report being very moved the first time they hear it live in a good setting mm-hmm. with a good crowd.
And some of the, I don't know about today, but in some church denominations way back when, actually, musical instruments were forbidden.
They are, and there are still some denominations that I know of, and I've actually been contacted by some people from those traditions who wish to join us. This gathering is non-denominational, non-sectarian, but you are right. That is a tradition within some denominations.
Have the notations or the way of actually putting music down, has it been carried anywhere beyond sacred music, a liturgical type music, into just more folk songs and this sort of thing? Do you know?
Not per se. I believe in the early history there was quite a bit of that. But what I know of that is survived mm-hmm. is in the religious realm.
Right. Again, the singing school, the Shape Note Singing School, will be at ETSU on the campus Saturday, November 3rd. And update us on the location one more time, Randy.
It's going to be in the Reese Museum,
mm-hmm.
on the campus of ETSU.
Okay, from 10 till 3 on the 3rd.
And this is Dave Huggin and Carl Swan, and we're thinking out loud this morning with Don Wiley and with Randy Sanders. And Randy, before we wrap up the conversation, I want you to give us an overview here in just a couple of minutes about the Center for Appalachian Studies and Services and what you do over there. But let's go back to Don Wiley for just a moment. And off the air, we were talking about the possibility of having a permanent group of shape note singers who would get together on a regular basis. Is that a goal that you have, Don?
It definitely is, Dave. Other communities do this, and in fact, there is an ongoing group in Greenville, Tennessee, who meet the last Sunday of each month. What do you call it? A workshop, a singing, a gathering? Nomenclature isn't really that important. Just to show up and be together and learn new songs and just enjoy an afternoon of singing.
Mm-hmm. That's great. You mentioned that everyone has a website. You have a website dedicated to this, Don?
This is not dedicated specifically to this. This is the Christian Harmony website. Mm-hmm. The address is www.christianharmony.org.
Right.
And on that website, at the top, is a linkage to the singing school on November 3rd. And all the information, including directions and contact information, is
found there. Is it necessary to pre-register?
Yes, we're asking for pre-registration, and the information is there on the website.
Okay, christianharmony.org.
Correct.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Don. I wanted to transition, as Dave was saying, over to Randy for a couple of minutes, and we only have about 2 minutes left here, to tell us a little bit more, just an overview of what the Center for Appalachian Studies and Services is involved in. I think the name says a lot of it right off the top there, but the scope of what you're doing and some of the things that are happening and maybe future plans.
Sure. I think that, it's a multifaceted organization. It's a center of excellence. Mm-hmm. The state of Tennessee legislature in the early 1980s established centers of excellence across the state at different universities and colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And the Center for Appalachian Studies and Services was one of the first. We have a number of different units. The Bluegrass Old Time and Country
Sure.
Music Program is one, celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. The Archives of Appalachia is another. The Reese Museum, where we're going to be holding the shape note singing.
Mm-hmm.
There is an Appalachian Studies minor, an Appalachian teaching project. I work for a magazine now and then managing editor.
Right, one of the most visible offshoots of what you do. That's great.
Right,
wonderful magazine.
Now in its 23rd year. So there are a variety of things mm-hmm. that we do, but both in studies and in the case of the Shape Note Singing School that we're doing, services that we do for the community.
All under the umbrella of Appalachia.
Right.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, one more time here. The Shape Note Singing School will be on the campus of East Tennessee State University Saturday, November 3rd from 10 till 3 at the Reese.
Bookmark this page and return for more Thinking Out Loud podcast interviews by the Morning Team at AM 910 WJCW.